and good to feel His presence. And just come tonight, I hope you did, with an anticipation to just see what heaven would do for us. And I'm glad, that the Lord has an agenda and a platform, things He wants to do for us. I don't believe the Lord's scratching His head tonight, wondering how He's going to fix our problems or wondering what we need, and more than that, what to do about what we need. But doesn't the Bible say He knows what we need before we even know ourselves? My friend, He has the remedy, He has the answer before we even pray about it. Praise God. We're just glad for revival. Appreciate how the Lord's been helping us. And we want the Lord just to continue to move and touch lives and meet us around these altars and do something that'll last and something we can take with us. Praise the Lord. I want to read from the book of Acts tonight. If you have your Bible, the book of Acts. Thank you so much for everything that's been done for us and food that's been brought and prepared. We thank you for that. And the offering, we just appreciate your giving and pray that the Lord will just bless you for that. And we know that He will, and we thank you for it so very much. And appreciate Brother Webb and just enjoyed his fellowship and just want God to help us tonight. Acts chapter number 28 and verse number 1 is where I want to read from. Acts chapter 28 and verse number 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. The barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. I want to take my text from the second verse. The writer said the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. Notice what they did. They kindled a fire and received us every one. And then the Bible tells us why they kindled that fire. He said because of the present rain and because of the cold. They kindled a fire because of the cold. I want to preach, if the Lord would help me for just a little bit, on a blaze for cold days. A blaze for cold days. Acts chapter number 27 is leading us up to this shipwreck that we read about and the result of this shipwreck in chapter number 28. The reason that they were escaped, the reason why they were on an island called Melita, there were barbarous men there, was because they suffered a great shipwreck. There was a storm and there was a wreck. We know that the Apostle Paul was on that vessel. And he was there by the divine plan and by the sovereign hand of God. Paul was to go to Rome and stand before Caesar. And so therefore he was on that ship that was eventually shipwrecked because of that Euroclydon that caused him the great trouble upon the sea. Now we know that Paul had admonished them and Paul had advised them that it would have been better if they would not have left the place that they were because the sea and the time was not good for sailing. But they did not listen to the man of God. They did not listen to Paul's advice, and now they found themselves in the midst of a storm that threatened their life and threatened all the valuable things that they were carrying with them. them and ultimately left them vagabonds on a seashore that they never been before. And my friend, if they only would have listened to the man of God, they never would have ended up as shipwreck in an unfamiliar place. Now, Paul was there, even though he was gave them the good advice. The men were there because their captain made a wrong decision. Now, some people get in storms because of their decisions. Some people get in storms because of other people's decisions. Paul was in a storm because somebody else made a bad decision. And you may be here tonight and you may be in a storm and you may be in a hard place and feeling the winds and the waves and the hopelessness that no doubt they felt as they were on that vessel and they were threatened by that Euroclodon. My friend, that's why Paul was there, because somebody else got out of the will of God. And somebody didn't listen to the advice of the man of God and the counsel of what Paul had to say. And Paul was there because somebody got out of the will of God. And there's some people that get in the storms of life because somebody gets out of the will of God and makes a bad decision. And some people are there because they decide, because of their own decisions, they're going to sell, they're going to do, and they're going to advance, and they find themselves in a storm. And you may be here tonight, and you may be in a storm of life because you made a wrong decision. But my friend, there is a remedy for the storm, and there is a rescue for every storm of life and every adversity that comes our way. No matter what the storm, God will bring you through the storm. God brought Paul through the storm, and God brought those men through the storm. But sometimes the storms of life can leave us in cold places. And we know that it's a cold hour that we're living in. We know the Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And there's some shipwrecked men that's been in a storm for days and days and days. But Brother Paul knew what to do in that storm. He sought the face of God. He got alone from everybody and everything else. He got in the bottom of that ship and he began to try and find confidence even in the storm. And brother, tonight, just as the Lord spoke to Paul in the middle of that storm, I believe God can speak to us and God can come to us. Do you believe that tonight? You believe God still sees us when we're in the midst of the storms of life, and God is able to come to us and let us know that you're going to make it across and you're going to make it through by the grace of God? And even though it was cold where they were, and it was a cold hour, and Paul found himself in a cold place, my friend, he did not allow it to take his joy, his confidence, and his faith that God would bring them through this situation. And there was some frostbitten sailors that no doubt were there on that shore that night. The Bible said these men began to kindle a fire because of the present rain and because of the cold. Now, it hadn't been cold and it hadn't been raining. It was raining and it was cold right then. And so, therefore, there was a need right then. And I thank God. I'm glad that God moved yesterday, aren't you? And I'm glad that God has given us a promise that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And if the sun rises in the morning, we've got confidence that God is going to be there. And we've got testimony that God was there yesterday. But brother, sister, tonight, there was a present cold and there was a present rain, but there was a present God and there was a present fire. And my friend, we can't rely on the blessing of yesterday or the hope of tomorrow. We've got
there's a God that can move in this hour, that can move in this day for your present need and for the present peril of life. Brother, it was cold where they were. It was cold and it was raining. Now, one person said you can always tell when somebody gets frostbit. And when you're frostbit, that simply means that you're losing more heat than your body can produce. And they say you can always tell when somebody's been frostbit. And I know there's hypothermia and there's hyperthermia. I believe hypothermia is when it's cold, and hyperthermia is when it's heat. When you've got hypothermia, it's because you're losing more heat than your body can produce. But they said the telltale signs of hyperthermia in a person that's frostbit is they get the stumbles, they get the mumbles, and they get the grumbles. And when you're out with somebody, whether they were hunting or hiking or out somewhere in the elements, he said if somebody begins to stumble around and somebody begins to mumble and they begin to grumble, then you know that that person has been frostbitten and they have been affected by the coldness that is at hand. And brother, I believe it's the same way in the spiritual tonight. You can always tell when somebody's getting cold, and you can always tell when they're sitting on a pew and they've been frostbit by the hour that we're living in. It may be cold and the cold may be common, but brother, there is a remedy for the common cold in this hour we're living in. And Jesus gave us the prescription tonight. It's in Acts chapter number 2. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. It's a move of God. And brother, that's what we need in this hour. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost.
Oh, it happens all across America tonight. People sitting on church pews, they've been affected by the cold, and they're stumbling. They're stumbling. They're not going forward like they always have. They're not as committed as they've always been. They're not as faithful to God's house and revival and prayer and worship. And they begin to stumble. They begin to mumble. You got a testimony tonight? What was that again? I'm glad I'm saved. They sit down and mumble. And they grumble. They grumble about everything. It's too hot. It's too cold. This is this and that and this. And nothing's right and nothing's ever good. And everything's always wrong. And my friend, I don't believe it's the atmosphere we're in tonight that's causing men to grumble. I don't believe it's Jesus that's causing men to grumble. I don't believe it's the Word of God or the power of the Holy Ghost or the hope of heaven or the preacher, the deacon, the Sunday school teacher, or the singer. But I believe it's the coldness that is coming in among us, and it's getting a hold of men's hearts, and it's getting a hold of men in this hour. And my friend, we need somebody that'll build a fire of the Holy Ghost. That was the only thing that would work in the hour. That was the only thing that would help a shipwreck. It was a fire on that island. Woo!
How many, have you ever been outside working when it was cold? You ever hit your hand with a hammer when it was cold? It always hurts worse when your hands are cold. And wholeness preaching, and preaching where we're living, and the exhortation to move out and step out and worship God and get in and believe God, it always hurts worse when we're cold. Because when the fire's burning, we don't have to have a Pentecostal cheerleader. Oh, come on here now. When the fire's burning, we don't have to be begged and pleaded and pet to try to worship God and have revival. But my friend, when somebody comes in and they got a stick of wood and they're willing to build a fire, my friend, they got a song and they got joy and they got a testimony and they got a desire. I don't know about you tonight, but I got a desire to see the fire of the Holy Ghost touch our young people and touch this church house and do the impossible. I'll lift your hands and ask the Lord to send a fire. Woo! Sometimes we let the storms take our desire to build a fire. I don't know what all those other sailors were doing, but Paul was building a fire. And I know every one of us here tonight has faced the storm at one time or another. But my friend, in the midst of it all, we've got to build a fire. I remember when Hurricane Katrina hit there on the Gulf Coast where we live. I went down one of the most, it was a street there right on the water. Senator Trent Lott, our senator at that time, had a home there. A lot of doctors and lawyers and different ones had homes there. When that water came through, they said it was a 50-foot wall of water. And they named that storm Katrina. The Bible names their storm Eurocodon. And I remember driving down that road. You couldn't even drive all the way down the road because pieces of the road were ripped up. You couldn't even make it all the way down the road. That water just washed pieces of that road totally out. There was carpet hanging in those oak trees. There was baby grand pianos laying, just strewn out, people's belongings, pictures, possessions. We're just exposed to the elements because of that storm. And right there on the corner, there was somebody that found an old piece of plywood or OSB board, and they got it and propped it up against a stop sign on the corner of that road. They got them some black spray paint, and on that crude piece of wood, they wrote on there, "Don't let Katrina steal your joy." And when I looked at that, Brother Webb, in the midst of that storm that had ravaged that coast and took everything that everybody on that road had, there was not one person that was poor or rich, had a big house or a small house, that was exempt from that water that washed that shore and washed them out. But there was one thing that Katrina couldn't take. It was in their heart, and it was joy, and it was hope, and it was confidence. Hey, I don't have no sad story. I got hope tonight that the fire is going to burn. I said I got confidence that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Oh, glory to God. And God's on the throne. And God's going to make a way. And you may have been in the storm, but there's a fire. There's a joy. There's a power of God. Paul's circumstance said, sit down. You've been washed on the shore. Give up. Quit. Let somebody else. But Paul knew. Paul didn't have any sit down in him. That's why I love Brother Webb. He don't have any sit down in him. When the storm came, he got in that. I'm getting attached to that truck, brother. He calls me for breakfast, and he don't have to call me when he gets there. I hear him rumbling up the way. I knew he's coming. But, I'm not here to pin any roses tonight. I'm here to have revival. But I want to say, When the storms of life came, Brother Webb, he didn't sit out on a log somewhere and say, I never thought I'd be on the island that is called Melita. But he just picked up a stick and said, I believe I'll get in that truck. I'll go to Oklahoma. I'll go to Alabama, Virginia, and I'll keep the fire burning. And that's what Paul said. I may be in a place I never thought I'd be, but the fire is more important than the storms of life. We gotta have revival. We gotta have a move of God. Somebody's gonna go to hell, and somebody is gonna die lost. But there's a fire that'll burn through the night. I said there's a fire that'll burn in the storm and the cold. Woo! When I look at this front row, when I look at this amen corner, when I look at this guy been up there seeking God, I can look at a lot of reasons why we shouldn't. But I look at a lot of reasons why we better. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, ha-ta-ba-ho-sa-ta-ma-ha. Oh, glory. Oh, God. You say, I'm doing all right, preacher. I'm doing pretty good. I'm not cold. I'm not discouraged. Well, it's time we quit thinking about us and us alone. But it's time we get together as a King Mountain Church and say, I'm going to build a fire for you. And I'm going to build a fire for you. And we're in this together. And we're going to make it together. And we're going to have revival together. A while back, Brother Randy, I was in revival. Brother Rusty's. We were still in the old church. Hurricane hadn't come yet. And our church, the Brother Rusty Johnson's church, is only about 20 miles. So I was staying there. I was praying in our church. And I was down about halfway back, praying one afternoon. And as I was praying, I don't know if it was a vision. I don't think I went to sleep. But I've done it before praying. Right? So it might have been a dream. I don't know. But as I was praying there, like God showed me in my mind's eye, and it was just fire. More fire than I'd ever seen. Mountains. Just, I don't know how to describe it. Just as far as my eyes could see, there was fire. Almost like liquid fire, lava. Fire that would run to and fro. And I seen that. I seen that inferno, that heat, that fire. And it was blazing and it was light. And I was praying about that. I said, Lord, am I going to be preaching on hell tonight? And the Holy Ghost spoke to me, Brother Rice, and he said, that's not hellfire. That's Holy Ghost fire. And he said, that's what I want to pour out upon my church, is Holy Ghost fire. Oh, and I still believe it. I know it's cold out there tonight. My water about froze up before church. I know we had to bundle up and come up here. And I know it's a cold night. And more than that, in the natural, I know it's a cold world. But somewhere in the reservoirs of heaven, there's fire. Oh, my God, in heaven. I said, there's enough fire to stop every plan of the devil. There's enough fire to save everybody in this holler. There's enough fire to light this church ablaze for the glory of God. I say, God, send the fire of the Holy Ghost one more time. Can you say amen? Woo! Paul was doing something good. Paul was doing what he believed in. He believed in the fire. Brother, I believe in the fire. I'm 28 years old. I'll be 29 next month. We'll be evangelizing 9 years this year. I don't plan on letting the fire go out on my watch. I'm not much, and you found that out Sunday morning when I started. But brother, Paul probably didn't feel like much when that storm washed him on that shore. But God wasn't asking for somebody that was alive. He was asking for somebody that had a desire to keep this fire going, that'll pick up a stick, that'll give in a praise, that'll lift their hands and say, glory be to God. I believe we can all do that. I believe we can say glory. I believe we can say hallelujah. Let the fire burn at the King Mountain Pentecostal Church again. But you mark it down. You mark it down. When you start picking up sticks, the devil will fight you. You may be here and you've done made up in your mind in this revival, I'm going to get something from God. And the devil's tried to fight you. The devil's tried to stop it. That devil come out of that wood. I don't believe that snake ever would have woke up if it had stayed cold. But he got that snake close to that fire and woke him up. And that fire, that snake came out of that fire and fastened on his hand. But Paul wasn't ready to give up yet. He shook it off. But I tell somebody here tonight, don't get shook up. Just shake it off. Shake it off in the fire and feel no harm. They looked at Paul and said, he's going to die. They looked at Brother Randy Webb and said, he's going to die. But he ain't dead. The devil's looked at some of you and said, you're going to die. You should have been dead a long time ago. That Brother Rice, I can't believe he's made it this far after all hell's trying to do to him. The devil's come against some of your families and some of your homes. And that serpent's latched onto your hands while you're trying to do something for God. And the devil stood back and said, I got him. But you're not dead. You're alive. And you're in revival. And God's in the house. And God's going to move in your life. Woo! He should have got bitter, but he didn't. He should have got angry, but he didn't. He should have quit, but he didn't. Oh, and the devil said, why ain't they bitter? Why ain't they discouraged? Why ain't they stopped? Because you shook him off. But what I love about it all, Brother Rice, that snake come out of that fire. That snake will come out of a move of God. But the same fire that he came out of was the same fire that destroyed him. He shook it off in the fire. And the same devil that comes out of the fires of revival and try to stop you dead in your tracks, if you'll shake that snake off, that same fire of the Holy Ghost will kill that viper. Then we'll have revival. Oh, glory to God. They looked at him and said, he must be a God. Brother Randy, he said, I'm not a God, but I know who God is. They said, come, we got you somebody we need you to pray for. We got somebody we need you to introduce to your God. And Brother Rice, the Bible said they took Paul in there and he laid his hands on him. The same hand that was hurt was the same hand that God used to heal because he shook it off. I'd like to see the fire fall tonight, wouldn't you? I believe I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost in this building. I believe I feel the warmth of God. I know I'm sweating. That's because I'm overweight and I've been running around here. Brother Randy took me up here to the free clinic the other day at Walmart. They had going and I just found out how out of shape I really was. But brother, I in my spiritual man right now, I'm feeling the fire of the Holy Ghost. I believe it wouldn't surprise me one bit if somebody got filled with the Holy Ghost of God. It wouldn't surprise me right now if every one of us got a refilling and got in the midst of the fire of the Holy Ghost. I said, do you believe it? I'll lift your hands and say, God, send the fire. Oh, would you stand? Would somebody come get me a song? Well, I don't believe God is moving like that no more. Just a little while back in November, I believe it was, I was at Brother Steve Moore's in Brussell, Oklahoma. There's a woman come up one night, Saturday night. She comes sit on the altar and she's praying. I thought she needed healing or she was just praying. Well, she got to praying real good, stood up there. Sister Rice, and they said she's seeking for the Holy Ghost. 71 years old. And it wasn't long, Brother Webb, she started getting stammering lips. And it looked like to me, Brother Nathan, she's speaking in tongues. She kind of slacked off there a little bit, and everybody was standing around, and we was having a Pentecostal meeting there. And Brother Steve looked at her and said, "Sister, did you get the Holy Ghost?" She said, "I don't think so." He said, "Well, lift your hands till you get satisfied, and you know God's filled you with the Holy Ghost." So she lifted her hands again. She started praying, same thing, stammering lips. She went to speaking in tongues. Looked like everybody was shouting and praising God and running around. And her name was Sister Flossie. She lowered her hands again. Brother Steve said, "You get it, Sister Flossie?" She said, "I don't think so." But she said, "I sure have got blessed." She said, "God's been dealing with me in this revival. I've been saved almost 40 years, I think," she said. She said, "I had an old television in my house. God spoke to me, told me to get rid of that television. Said, I feel better than I have in a long time." And Brother Steve said, "Won't you just lift your hands and praise the Lord again?" She went to praying again. About that time, somebody on the piano began to sing that song, "If This Ain't the Holy Ghost, I Don't Know, But It Sure Suits Me." And Brother, the power of God went to falling. And she let her hands down again. And he said, "Sister, did you get the Holy Ghost?" And she started to say, "I don't think so." And when she did, she went to speaking in tongues. And she put her hand over her mouth like that. And then she raised her hands and went to speaking in tongues. After it's all said and done, we had a shouting time around there. They said, "Sister Flossie, how you feel now?" She said, "Well, this ain't the Holy Ghost. I don't know, but it sure suits me." And she left out of there 71 years old, 40 years in the Holiest Church. And that night, God sent the fire and baptized her with the Holy Ghost. I believe He's still feeling, don't you? I believe He's still working and delivering and moving. And I say, "Lord, do it tonight." I wonder, you need the Holy Ghost. Won't you come up here and stand and lift your hands and ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost? Is there anybody? You need the baptism. Maybe there's somebody, you're here tonight, you say, "Preacher, I've been cold, I've been discouraged, I've been fighting the devil, I've been fighting a battle, but I'd like God to send the fire of Pentecost and warm my soul and give me a zeal and a determination and refill me and rekindle the fire of God." Is there anybody who says, "I need to get closer and nearer and more of heaven"? You need a refilling tonight, why don't you come? You need more of God tonight. You need more joy, more determination. Why don't you come? Find you somebody to pray with and ask God to send the fire in this house.